July 2nd, 1986.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Today's program will begin momentarily, but first, let me remind you that our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. Please confine your remarks to the subject material being discussed on today's program and be as brief as possible so others may call in too. Now, here's your host for Feedback, Tom Trulson, along with today's guest.
And good morning. It's 3 minutes past 10 o'clock. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of our program, and we're here to talk nutrition again this morning with Ted Brewer. This morning we want to focus our discussion on how to avoid, rather than cure, which hasn't been done yet, America's second largest killer, cancer. There is a way to avoid it.
There sure is, Tom. And the one thing that I want to do before we get started on our cancer program this morning is that the last time I was on the show, a month or so ago, a man called in and asked me a question about Genesis and about the flood and about Noah. Mm-hmm. And as far as I can remember, the question was such that if it was okay for God to, you know, eat clean or unclean animals after the flood, only two pairs of animals went into the boat, according to, you know, what the scripture says is what he said. And why is it if we ate the meat after that, the animals weren't extinct? Okay, which is a good question. I hadn't really gone into depth with that. And so I went back to Genesis to find out what the Word said. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 20, it says, and Noah speaking here, two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. And then in verse 6 it says, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, which seems strange to me right there that he's already saying clean and unclean animals came to move. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark. But then if you look back up here to verse 2, it says, take with you seven of every kind of clean animal. Okay? And that answers the question. Now, apparently God knew that they would be eating the meat after they got off, and he said, take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal. Okay, a male and its mate. So what he's saying right there is they didn't eat the unclean animals. And this is even before the law was given, okay, to Moses. And it seems amazing to me that Noah himself knew, I guess God had made known to him, that there was a difference between the clean and the unclean types of food. And so I wanted to go ahead and address that issue real quick that had been brought up on the last show, that one, because I had a problem and I hadn't looked through the scriptures on that. Now, in addition to that, there's some other comments. A bunch of people called me up a few weeks ago, and they said that they had heard that milk was a really good food and that you needed to really, you know, eat a lot of milk and drink a lot of milk or eat a lot of dairy products. And again, I want to read to you again. This is from Dr. McDougall, a booklet that he read, and everything that he has in this book is he's documented. And let me go ahead and just read you a few quotes here. Few people know that the recommendations to eat the excessive amounts of harmful sources of protein are based on research dealing largely with nutrition needs of rats. Rats at birth require 10 times the amount of protein that the human baby does. So what he's saying is that the whole truth, again, this is quote, is that dairy foods are the most harmful of the traditional four food groups. And they are high in fat, protein, and environmental contaminants, and deficient in fiber and in carbohydrates. So I just thought I'd share that with you. And one other thing that he quoted was the dairy and meat industries are presently suffering from a depressed market as a result of increased public awareness. Officials of the United States government, which was founded on the principles of freedom of information, actually have suppressed printed material intended to improve health because of the material's potential harmfulness to the business. Food lobbies had little trouble convincing the Department of Agriculture to abandon publication of a relatively non-controversial pamphlet, Food/2, which recommended ways to reduce fat and cholesterol in the American diet by discouraging consumption of meat, poultry, dairy, eggs, fat, and oil. And so I just thought I'd share that real quick.
We don't want to spend a lot of time on this, mm-hmm. but since you brought it up, Dr. Lane, when he was here talking about the dairy industry and dairy products, also talked about the need for calcium. Are you aware of any material on that? There is a lot of advertising right now on women's need for more calcium. They're not getting it in their regular diet, so they're trying to sell supplements.
That's true. As far as the dietary needs of calcium, and this is going to go into a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk into today about cancer. The problem that we have in America today is so much of the food has been so processed that much of the calcium and a lot of the other minerals has been removed from the food. It's all denatured. There's very little in other words, Tom, the food may support your life, but it won't sustain your health. Okay, so you may stay alive, but you're not going to be very healthy using it. The problem with milk that we've seen and all the research that I've seen and that I've read on it says that the enzyme phosphatase is removed in the pasteurization of the milk. And without that enzyme being there, it's almost impossible to get the calcium out of the milk because the calcium has been bound up in the milk. So you can't, your body can't even assimilate it. Now, that's the research that I've read. Now, there are other types of foods, and we can do a whole show on this if you'd like on calcium supplementation, which are very high in food, you know, food as far as their content of calcium. And this is the thing that we have to look at is the different types of food groups that we can eat to get calcium rather than dairy products. You see, there's a catch-22. We're the only man, or you know, we're the only people here on Earth, okay, that after we're weaned, we continue to drink milk, okay? And, you know, a cow's got a lot of calcium in its bones. Now, where did it get its calcium? See, we don't think about that. You know, when it continues to grow, a lot of steers get up to 1,000 pounds in 1 year, okay, never drinking milk, you know, after they're weaned. And so we have to look at it from a different perspective. And so many times I had a man come in our office yesterday, and he had been a farmer. And he started telling me about, he had read an article in 1945 Reader's Digest, okay? And he said that he was in Germany at that time in World War II, and that they had taken a group of selected farms in the east and in the west, and they had looked at how much money the people had spent on medical expenses in the west and in the east. And he said back then in the west they didn't use any chemical additives or preservatives or pesticides, and he said the cost per family for medical care was almost zero over like a 20-year period. But in the east, where they had used a lot of processed foods and stuff and, you know, pastures and all these things on their farm, the medical cost was almost prohibitive. And in fact, he told me to write Reader's Digest and get the article, which I think I'll do. I don't know, it's about 45 years ago. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll still have it.
Before we continue our discussion, let me let our audience know that our phone lines will be open a little later on. We've already had some folks try to call in this morning. If they'll hold off, we will be opening up the phone lines in about 15 or 20 minutes. Okay. Where do we start talking about cancer? Whenever some people hear that word, it instills anxiety. And, of course, at this stage, there's still no cure for cancer. But I think the approach we want to take is preventing it to begin with.
Well, let me real quick statement here before we get started. The information that we're going to contain in today's program is presented for educational purposes only. Okay, if it's not intended for diagnosing or prescribing, in the event a listener uses this information to solve his own health problems, he is prescribing for himself, which is his constitutional right, but I assume no responsibility, okay? Because sure, we're going to be talking a lot of things about the different things concerning cancer this morning, and I don't want to get myself into a bind in being accused of, you know, diagnosing or prescribing.
Explain one more thing for as a clarifying point. We've had people ask whether you are a doctor or not. What is your background?
Okay. I am not a medical doctor. I'm a biologist. I was trained in biology and chemistry at Florida State University with a secondary degree there also and a master's degree from Florida State. I then took postgraduate training in nutritional therapy from the Christian Institute of Healing and His More Excellent Ways Ministries, two different graduate programs in which I was trained in therapeutic nutrition. That's my background. Okay, so I am not a medical doctor. I do not diagnose. I do not prescribe. When people come to our office, we simply offer to them dietary suggestions. Okay, which is up to them whether they want to take them. Now, the thing that I'm always intrigued at, I'll be listening to someone in the gym talking or, you know, in a restaurant, and they'll say, you know, it's a travesty that all the billions and billions of dollars which have been spent on medical research for curing cancer has been fruitless. You know, nothing's been shown. And even the article that we read a few weeks ago when we were on the air, you know, we talked about the last New England Journal of Medicine's findings that the last 35 years of intense effort focused on curing cancer has been a failure. This is what they said in their article. And I'm kind of amazed at that because, you know, it's incredible the amount of money that is spent on cancer research every year. Okay? And so I always hear this, and the other day I was talking to some friends, and they said, well, I just wish we knew what cured cancer. And I said, well, we do. I mean, you know, what causes cancer? And then they said, well, come on now, Ted. If you knew what caused cancer, you know, you wouldn't be here in Winter Haven. You know, you'd be famous. You know, you'd have all the... But no, that's not true. We've known for many, many years the things that cause cancer. But the problem is many of these things that we deal with as far as cancer, you know, they're not considered traditional therapies. And, of course, you know, we're going to go over a few things today, this morning, which if all of you have a pen and paper down, you need to start avoiding these things in your diet. Because cancer can be prevented. It's been shown over and over again. In fact, that New England Journal of Medicine's article said that all of the things now are pointing to prevention rather than treatment of this dreaded disease. And let's look back in Deuteronomy. Remember, we've spoken before. In Deuteronomy, it says that if we're not careful to obey all of the Old Testament dietary laws that, you know, will have upon us, you know, harsh and prolonged disasters and long and lingering illness. And cancer is about the most long and lingering illness I've ever seen, that and heart disease and diabetes, which are the three biggest killers in this country. And this is what we don't realize, is that, you know, many of these problems can be prevented if we simply take the preventative measures to start with. For instance, everybody knows the first thing you should cut out is smoking. Okay, it's been shown after study after study after study after study that smoking's bad for cancer. And it amazes me that, and I'm not standing in judgment on anyone, Tom, don't get me wrong, that a Christian will come to the altar with cancer and ask to be healed and have a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. I've seen it, you know, and that to me just absolutely amazes me, because he knows by all the research that's been done over and over and over again that smoking has been shown to cause cancer. So, you know, that's the first thing we need to cut out. You know, the Surgeon General has told us over and over again that the respiratory organs, lips, the mouth, the stomach, the lungs are all affected by the cigarette smoke. And I'm finally glad to see now that, you know, we're finally getting to a point where non-smokers are getting some rights. You know, praise God for that. You know, 15 years ago, before I was even a Christian, I used to get so upset when I'd go into a restaurant or into a movie theater and a person beside me would start smoking. Because it is very offensive to a non-smoker. And why should I have my air polluted by someone else? If they choose to do it themselves, it's their business. But, you know, they shouldn't do it to me.
And there's more and more research now on the effects of what they call passive smoking.
That's right. And it's showing also that, you know, the passive smoking, you know, as far as from other people's cigarettes is bad. The next thing they need to work on, this is not on cancer, is that they need to allow us, if we go into health clubs and into gyms, not to have to listen to the heathen rock music. Okay? That's a plug for WCIE, because so many times you go into the weight rooms and into the gyms here in town, and they've got this horrible music on. And see, that does the same thing to your mind, but in a more subtle way. It goes in. All that information is going in, going in, and going in, and we should be able to say, look, if we can't agree on a station, let's turn the music off. And that way nobody's going to be affected. But that's just a little bit of notes from Ted there. Okay. Now, the second thing that people need to avoid if they have problems with, you know, with their really fair skin, is they need to avoid a lot of excessive amount of sun. Now, some sun is good. Okay, you know, you need it to help the body to synthesize the vitamin D to help assimilate the calcium. Okay, but I know people who, if they could, they would lay at the beach 12 hours a day. Okay, and invariably these people end up with some type of skin cancer, carcinoma. And it's been shown over and over again that, you know, excessive exposure to the sunlight can cause, you know, problems later on in life.
How do you know what your limit is?
Well, I think, Tom, you know, we just need to, again, use common sense. You know, if we get 2 or 3 hours of sun every week, that's fine. It's no big deal. Our body can handle that, assuming that our body chemistry is in pretty good shape. But most people, they don't do it that way. If they're sun, quote, worshippers, we've been, you know, people in classified as, they want to go to the beach every day, every waking moment they want to be out there, especially people who are in college. I know. I used to be like that, you know, back in my, you know, my graduate school years. Other things are mechanical, physical, and chemical irritations. Again, this is the, you know, I'm trying to keep this stuff as simple as I can. It's like the snuff. Okay, you have a mucous membrane in your mouth, and you have the physical irritation all the time, or you have a pipe hanging out of your mouth, or a cigar hanging out of your mouth. It's been shown to really increase the levels of, you know, of mouth cancer, and so we need to avoid this. And you folks and you Christian men who use the snuff and who do these things, you need to be aware of that. There's a much, much greater risk of cancer of the tongue and throat if you use these things.
That's coming more into the limelight now, too. I think it was just last week there was a news story on a mother that attempted to sue the tobacco industry because her teenage son died of mouth cancer.
Yes.
from snuff.
And, you know, but, you know, nobody talks about that. You know, they show these athletic heroes or whoever out there, you know, pitching the softball or whatever, you know, with this big thing of chewing the back in the side of their mouth, and that's supposed to be cool or something. I guess, I don't know, Tom. And, you know, and they don't tell you about the long-term effects of that. Now, the other thing that I really want to, the number four, that you need to cut out of your diet, and this is going to be very hard to do, and it's a drug called diethylstilbestrol. And I know I can't believe
spell
I can. Yeah, sure I will. It's diethylstilbestrol. And a recent report by the FDA based on extensive research from the U.S. and many other countries shows that diethylstilbestrol is definitely a causative factor in the cancer of the uterus, breast, and other reproductive organs. Now, what this stuff is, it's an artificial female sex hormone, which is used in wide-scale food production in this country. And it's been established that 85% of all meat in the United States still contains dangerous residues of it.
What is it used for?
It's a fattening up the cattle. It makes them grow faster. It's a female hormone. It promotes estrogen. Well, that's what it basically is. It's a synthetic female hormone like estrogen. And it actually allows the meat to become more heavily marbled and allows the fat to go into the tissue faster.
Now, is this the one that has been in the news the last couple of years where, for some reason, children, male children, have started developing...
breasts.
Right.
You got it. That's why 15 countries around the world now refuse to import American meat.
Hmm.
Because of the dangerous levels of stibesterol. And, by the way... cancer is not the only thing that it causes. It also causes a reduced sexual libido in men and fertility in men, which is their, you know, the libido is their sex drive.
Now, is it only in meat products?
Primarily, it's used in beef and in chickens. And
how do you know if it's in there? Do you just assume that it is?
Well, most of the meat in America has it in there. It's a well-known secret that during the last two decades, there was a dramatic decrease in the virility of American men who are traditionally heavy meat eaters. In addition to that, this female sex hormone actually will feminize a man. You know, you think about it, you know, you only have so many male hormones, and if you start pumping in all these artificial female hormones, you can feminize a man. And the thing that's scary about that is look at what's happened. Look at the rampant homosexuality. You know, a lot of times we blame this on a physical, you know, on a spiritual type thing. But how do we know that, you know, this isn't something that's because of what we're eating? And, you know, and so you think Satan could be that subtle? You better believe he is. You know, he wants any way he can. He wants to condemn people.
Sounds very bizarre.
It is. I know it is. But that's why 21 nations around the world have put a total ban on the use of this product in food production. However, the FDA still permits its use in this country. I saw a program of... it was last year on 2020. In fact, I've got a copy of it in our office if people want to see it. And it was from 2020, and it was showing that down in Puerto Rico and some of the other countries, that little children, 4 and 5 year old boys, had actually developed the breasts of full grown women.
I saw that.
Did you see it?
Yes.
And that was scary. And it's frustrating that we live in a country that allows us to use products that do things like that. And of course, there was this big controversy over it. They said, "Well, this stuff really do it, or was it something else?" And it was funny because, you know, the people who use this product, they want to continue to use it because I read an article that said that a 9 cent shot of this stuff will increase the yield to like $9 worth of extra meat on the cow. And so, you know, it's very cost effective.
It all comes down to money.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, number 5 would be cyclamates. You know, we all know cyclamates have been banned in the United States as an artificial sweetener. And number 6 is good old saccharin. You know, it's been shown over and over and over again that cancer, you know, is caused by saccharin. They use it in laboratory animals all the time. But still, the United States uses over 5 million pounds of saccharin just in its food industry every year and sweetening things. And now it's shifted to NutraSweet. And I've read some bad articles on NutraSweet. And everybody's saying, "Oh, no, I can't believe Ted's saying all this stuff." Well, I read an article from a Journal of Medicine that said that pregnant women should never use NutraSweet or Aspartine or whatever that stuff's called because it can actually cause brain chemistry change in the unborn infant.
Hmm.
And so, you know, well, I think we're just on a crossroads. And I think in 10 years from now, that'll be another saccharin or cyclamate. And I think they'll be pulling it off the market. But you see, they tried to pull saccharin off the market. And the whole country went into an uproar because there was no, quote, artificial replacement for it. And so they didn't want to have to, you know, go through all the mess with the legislators and everything else. They put it back on.
Well, if we'd show more moderation with real sugar, we probably wouldn't have to have the artificials.
That's right. And, you know, and people say how bad sugar is, and sugar is bad. The average American consumes like 160 pounds of sugar per person per year. Now, you say, well, does that mean we have to eliminate all sugar? No. Okay? If you ate like 5 pounds of white sugar a year, it wouldn't hurt you. And you say, well, Ted, I can't believe you just said that. Okay? It's true. Your body could handle that, assuming you had a relatively decent body chemistry. Okay? But we get people who come in our office all the time, and their sugar levels are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times above normal. Okay? And it's because of the excessive amounts of sugar that they eat. And so many times what we have to recommend for people like that is a total abstinence of white sugar, because a lot of times if you start eating a little bit again, you'll get trapped in it again. And it's so easy to fall back into the same trap. The next thing that we have to cut out of our diet are nitrosamines. And you say, come on, Ted, all these big words today. Okay, if you look on the packages of, like, pork, swine flesh, I should say, okay, if you look on the packages of swine flesh that have been processed in the grocery and all this luncheon meat and everything, so many times they'll have a little thing on the bottom that'll say sodium nitrite. Okay. Well, what happens is when nitrosamines or nitrates go into the body chemistry or into the system, they actually start... they change. The nitrates turn into nitrosamines, and they have been shown to cause cancer of the livers, cancer of the brain, cancer of the stomach, of the bladder, the kidneys, and several other organs. And they're super, super toxic. And that's why, if you just write this one down, if a label says sodium nitrite on it, do not take that food. I don't care if it's in trace amounts. It is very, very unhealthy.
What is it used for in the product?
And preservative is a coloring agent.
Hmm.
Okay, and that's why they say it's so necessary to have it in there, but it's not. Another thing that we have to look at is smog. Okay, ozone, carbon monoxide, nitrogen dioxide, and other photochemical pollutants are all known as smog. And what these things can do, they can actually present health disorders for the lungs and other respiratory organs. And this is one of the biggest things of cancer. I think I read in Mexico City, if you live in Mexico City now, it's the equivalent of smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I mean, that's scary, much less for the people who smoke down there. And, of course, we have the other things, the radioactive things like the strontium-90 and the iodine-131. And the problem with this is that the main concentration of these radioactive elements are found in milk. Okay? And that's what's so scary, and because it's dangerous to children to give them this, because a lot of times the milk can have concentrations of this stuff in them. And a lot of this is from the radioactive fallout from the atomic bomb tests that they've been doing. That's why they started outlawing it, because all the stuff that just filters around, some of the stuff has half-lives of thousands of years. It doesn't just disappear. It just stays there, and it contaminates our whole food chain. Another thing that we have to abandon or make sure of, or we don't have excessive amount of x-rays. It's been shown women who are pregnant who have children who have x-rays done, a lot of times leukemia is much higher in those children after the x-rays when they were developing in their cells. And let me give you a real quick reason why that happens. X-rays cause cellular damage in vast amounts. So that's why radiation, works as far as a treatment of cancer. Let me point this out to you. What it does, it destroys everything. It is non-discriminatory. Okay, it just kills everything.
I think a lot of people have wondered why when they take x-rays, the people that take them step outside.
That's right. And but what we have to realize is that if a child, let's say, and it goes to the old analogy, if you double a penny every day, what happens after 30 days? You've got millions of dollars. Okay? And people don't realize, the first day you have one, the second day you have two, the next day you have four, the next day you have eight, then 16, 32, 64, 128, all the way up. If you destroy a cell that's dividing and it has a genetic coding to produce a billion cells, and you destroy it before it produces those cells, you just created a lot of problems for that child later on in life. Okay, and this is why the mutations are so bad, and they may be born without limbs and other things, because they may destroy so many cells that the body can't develop properly.
And this is only while the woman is pregnant?
This is why the woman is pregnant. That's why so many times, doctors who are very conscientious about that will ask a lady, are you pregnant? Is there any possibility you are pregnant before they subject her to x-rays? Another thing is cadmium. It's a trace mineral, but I tell you, in high amounts, it's very toxic. And we don't realize that it's concentrated in animal livers and in shellfish. Okay? And again, the Bible, when it talks about the shellfish, is right again. The shellfish are there as a purifier, and they pick up all the toxins and poisons out of the ocean, and we in our little, I guess we could call it our human wisdom, decide that it's okay to eat this stuff.
Lobsters, crabs.
Yeah, well, I heard a great analogy the other day, Tom. I was doing a seminar for a group of businessmen over in the Clearwater area. And one guy said, "Well, Ted, how I've always looked at lobsters as just a big cockroach on the bottom of the sea." And I said, "I tell you what, that'll make me think next time I'm on the radio, I'll use that." And it was so funny because they were a group of Christian businessmen, and they wanted me to come in and talk to them about heart disease and diabetes and cancer and how to prevent them. But before we got started, they had heard some stuff that I had done on the radio back in February on clean and unclean food, so they wanted me to go over all that with them. Well, it was supposed to be a 2-hour seminar. An hour and a half later, I was still doing clean and unclean food. And because it's that important that we realize that swine flesh and all the other things that we've listed before are very unhealthy to eat. They cause an almost immediate reduction in reserve energy in the body. They're very unhealthy for our tissues. They're not good for us to eat, even if the Bible didn't say that, okay, they're still not good for us to eat. Now, all the people who haven't heard us before, they've all said, "Well, we're not under the old law anymore." That's true. And I'm not telling you that if you eat swine flesh, you're going to go to hell. I never said that. You just get to heaven a lot quicker, okay, because there are better types of food that we can eat. And that's the key that we have to look at. Oh, by the way, after that seminar, we talked about pork and unclean food for an hour and a half, and then we had about a 30-minute segment on the colon, and then for lunch they gave us ham soup.
Oh, no.
I couldn't believe it. But out of the 12 people who were there, 9 of them did not eat it. And then as the other 3 were eating it, I said to them, "How does the broth of swine flesh taste?" And they said, "Don't really talk to..."
You really have a way with words,
Yeah, I'm just quoting what Isaiah says. And they said, "Well, Ted, you shouldn't talk to us." And I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "You paid me to come here and do the seminar for you. If you're eating swine flesh after an hour and a half of this, obviously I haven't done my job." And I said, "But just remember, Satan is that subtle. He'll always tell you tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll change it. Tomorrow I'll change my dietary habits. Tomorrow I'll stop doing these things." Other things are drugs and environmental chemicals, like in our water. For instance, this is interesting. There's a product called benzopyrene, which is produced from charcoaling of steaks. Okay, so if you charcoal a steak, you have enough benzopyrene produced on that meat as if you smoked 600 cigarettes. One pound steak, after you charcoal broil it, has enough benzopyrene to equivalent of 600 cigarettes. And benzopyrene is a very strong carcinogen that was used, that is still used to produce cancer of the stomach and leukemia in laboratory animals. And so, everybody's mad at me right now. I know they are.
They were planning on cooking out this weekend.
That's right. I mean, this is the big weekend, this weekend. But so if you're going to do it, use one of the gas grills or something like that instead of the charcoal, which, you know, you may have some residue, but you don't have nearly the amount. And, again, our water supply, you know, they've shown over and over again, I think, with the EDB poisoning down in Lake Wales and the DDT and all the other things that are in the water, and even in fluoride. Fluoride has been shown to cause cancer. And, you know, it's unbelievable what fluoride will do, but yet they think in trace amounts it's healthy, but it's not.
Now you've got the dentists up there.
I know. I'll never see you again. I'm going to disappear. But the thing about it is that people need to know this stuff. There's a really, really good book out that you can get it in your bookstore. It's by Dr. John Yayoumanius, I guess. I can't even pronounce his name. And it's called Fluoride, the Aging Factor. And he is the world's foremost authority on the detrimental effects and the effects of fluoride. And so it's very important that if you have any problems with that, you know, you can call our office and yell at my wife, because I won't let her know. You won't be able to talk to me. Or you can just go ahead and get that booklet on fluoride. But there's some things in there about children actually dying in the seat after fluoride treatment. And he says in there that there's enough fluoride in a tube of some toothpaste, in a small tube of toothpaste, to kill a four-year-old if they eat the whole tube. It's that poisonous.
If they ate the whole tube.
But have you ever seen a little four-year-old brush his teeth? He gets more in his throat and down his mm-hmm. He eats more of it than he uses.
Now, how are we going to keep our teeth clean now, Ted, if we
eliminate fluoride? Well, there's many different types of toothpaste that you can get on the market which do not have fluoride in them. Okay? You don't need them. And see, the thing of fluoride is it's kind of a crutch because it promotes rapid collagen expansion. And the thing about it is the reason that happens is because of all the sugar and stuff that we eat in our diet. That's what causes the tooth decay. If we had sufficient amounts of calcium in our diet and, you know, we weren't stuck with all the unprocessed foods that a lot of these fast food markets serve, then we'd have a much higher level of calcium in our system. We wouldn't have to worry about the calcium in our teeth being ionized. And this is what happens. And so it's scary, but I personally am diametrically opposed to the use of fluoride. Boy, I'm sticking my neck out this morning on our time.
Let me remind the audience that they're listening to Feedback. It's 10:29. In just a couple of minutes, we'll take our mid-program break. We have already had a lot of folks trying to call in. We're going to hold off on the phone calls until the second half of the program. All right? Second half of the program, we'll take calls. In just a few moments, we'll take our mid-program break.
Okay, another thing that's going to shock a lot of people, excessive amounts of salt in the diet can cause stomach cancer. And this has been shown over and over again in Japan. Another thing, rancid foods and oils. You know, a lot of times we get foods that we think are good for us and they really aren't. For instance, a lot of the hamburger places now, in an effort to curb the consumption of, or not to curb the consumption of beef, but knowing what the market trend is going to in the eating of chicken, they're serving the chicken nuggets now, or whatever you want to call them. And they're serving the chicken sandwiches, but they forget to tell you that they deep fat fry this chicken in beef fat.
Beef tallow.
And there's actually more fat, okay, in that chicken sandwich than there is if you just eat a hamburger.
Dr. Dobson did a program just last week on that. It was interesting.
And see, people have got to realize that these heated fats, particularly animal and vegetable fats, when they heated to high temperatures, become carcinogenic because they tend to break down. It's been also shown that women with problems with breast cancer eat a lot of high-fat foods.
I thought it was interesting they were talking about, and they named names during that Dr. Dobson program, and they talked about the advertising campaign on Where's the Beef.
That's right.
And it just so happens that that particular fast food restaurant uses beef tallow in their French fries.
So the beef.
So now you know
fries.
Where the beef is.
That's right. Next thing that's going to, again, correlate exactly with what we're saying here is, and this is something that I had to really deal with myself, because back when I was in college and I was in athletics, I used to consume a tremendous amount of beef. And when I mean tremendous amount, I mean like 3 pounds a day. And I see people say, he can't mean that. Well, yeah, I did. We bought a freezer load of beef, my roommate and I. We were into competitive bodybuilding, the two of us, and we just munched out on a whole freezer full of beef in one quarter.
Mm.
And you say, well, how in the world could you do that and still be healthy? Well, don't worry, I paid my price on that one too. But excessive eating of meat and other cholesterol-rich foods causes a mess up in the liver, because the liver has to produce the digestive enzymes which allows our body to digest the food that we're eating. If we continue to eat high quantities of animal food, which is hard to digest over a long period of time, our liver loses the ability to digest the proteins and to assimilate them into the system. It becomes so weak. And when this happens, the system begins to deteriorate and to degenerate, because the body needs the protein to rebuild the tissue cells, which are replaced every 6 months in the body. And so the body is kind of like a catch-22. You start getting weaker and weaker and weaker, so you start feeling run down, so you eat more meat. What makes it worse? Okay, and are we ready for our station break?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go back to this in a minute.
It's 10:32. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of Feedback, and we're talking with Ted Brower this morning about cancer prevention with a proper diet. And we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
Do you find yourself rushing?
Pardon me, bub, I gotta go pray.
Your prayer time.
Dear Lord, bless Mom and Dad, Susan and Bob, Jeannie, Kim, Kimmy and Jimmy, John, Kitty and Tommy, Scooter and Joy, bless this planet. Help everybody everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for everything I have. Bye-bye.
Are you crushing your prayer time into your busy schedule? Well, the Bible says, take time to pray. Luke 22:46. Pray, lest you enter into temptation.
Excuse me, I forgot something. Dear Lord, help me to catch a lot of fish today. I would like to catch 40-pound bass. Thank you very much, Lord. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
We're back live with a Wednesday edition of Feedback. It's 27 now before 11, and our phone lines will be open for the remainder of the program, 858-3805. And we're anticipating a lot of calls, so if you can keep your comments as brief as possible, please. 858-3805. Ted?
Now, the other thing I want to stress to you, Americans eat more meat protein, okay, than any other country in the world. We also lead the world in cancer statistics. Okay, we have more people who die of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer in this world, in this country, than in the whole world. We're ranked 37th in world health. That means a newborn infant can live longer in 36 other countries than in the United States. So again, many doctors, and I can list you a whole list of them here, are convinced that an overindulgence in protein and the body's inability to properly digest and utilize it is one of the prime causes of cancer. The next reason we'd look at would be overeating. Over and over again, we hear that we see this. People come in the office, and we found about 1 in 20 people who come in our office aren't happy with their results. And this is over the last 6.5 years that we've been in business. And so many times, it's because of the diet is so strict. You know, if you're drinking 16 or 17 or 18 cups of coffee a day, and you're eating 2 or 3 pounds of meat a day, and all of a sudden we suggest to you that, hey, look, you know, you need to cut back on your coffee and your red meat, a lot of times people can't do it because when they get off all the caffeine and all the stimulants that they're getting into their body, they start feeling really bad. And see, that's nothing that we did. That's just how they felt. See, once you take the drugs out, then that's how you really feel. And this is why so many people, when they start getting off the caffeine, they start feeling sluggish and run down all the time because they're not constantly tapping into their adrenaline or into their adrenals for energy. And it's scary, but, you know, that's just part of it. Another thing that really affects people are nutritional deficiencies as far as cancer. And recent statistics said that about half of all Americans are suffering from some type of malnutrition, half of them, as far as vitamins or mineral deficiencies or whatever. And again, so much of this is caused from the food that we eat. You know, again, in everything we base our whole ministry on is the Bible. And we look at the Bible. The Bible tells us that we should rotate the crops every 7 years. But so many farmers, they can't because of economic reasons. You know, many farmers now are working for nothing. And, you know, and that's not right. But, you know, the thing about it is that we found that so much of the food that is now being tested is much more deficient than what we thought it would be as far as mineral. This is why so many times you bite into a watermelon and it's not even sweet. The sweeter the fruit, the higher the mineral content. And so many times, how many times have you gone to the grocery store and you pick up a peach and it never ripens? And you bite into it and it tastes like a carrot. You know, it's as hard as a carrot and it's not soft like they used to be. I remember when I was a young child, the peaches, you could buy them from the grocery store and they were still good. Now you've got to go to a fresh fruit market in order to get peaches like that. And they're not even as good as what we used to have.
Let's go to the phone for our first caller this morning. It's 25 before 11. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm calling for Brandon. Wanted to ask you a question earlier when you were talking about saccharin. If a person has low blood sugar, which I do, then you cannot eat sugar. And I wanted to ask you, what about honey then if you can't eat saccharin?
Okay, that is an excellent question. And in fact, next month, what I think what we'll talk about will be hypoglycemia. We'll go into depth on it because what the problem with most hypoglycemics is, and it's not so much their diet has caused certain problems to develop, and the problems have developed in their liver. Okay, because this is what controls the digestive enzymes. And I know this is contrary to everything you're probably going to read, okay? But honey, a lot of times for a hypoglycemic, is just as bad, okay, as sugar would be. Now, the reason that happens is because honey is also what we call or label a volatile carbohydrate, which means it goes into energy very quickly into the system, thus producing the same energy drop. Okay, now let me explain to you what hypoglycemia is for those who don't understand it. If we have an irregular blood sugar pattern and our body has become weak because of the diet that we have consumed, there's certain diets that you can go on which will control it. Now, it's kind of like a thermostat on a wall. A person who's hypoglycemic, is if their sugar goes up too high or becomes even normal, their body will put too much insulin into the system. Okay, the insulin is what regulates blood sugar, and the insulin will cause an almost immediate drop in the blood sugar. The problem with hypoglycemia is the body's lost its ability to regulate it properly, and the sugar drops too low. You know, you have dizziness and phobias and crying spells and sweating and all kinds of other things that can happen, irritability. Many reasons that people have marital problems is because of hypoglycemia, because their blood sugars are so unbalanced. Now, the common suggestion as far as diet for hypoglycemia is a high protein, high fat diet to avoid these what we call volatile carbohydrates in the diet. But you see, the problem with that type of approach is what happens over the long run. You may, able to stabilize the sugar because you're not putting carbohydrates into the system, but what do you end up with? You're eating all those high fat foods. You know, with heart disease, many people on high, the hypoglycemic diets end up with heart attacks. And so that's what we'll do is we'll go into detail next month on that particular thing with the sugar and declining health picture. We'll go into depth on that next month as far as what you can and can't do as far as hypoglycemia. But I do not recommend using the saccharin or the sugar or the honey. And I think you need to go ahead and learn how to fix your foods without that. My wife, for instance, made some really good It was blackberry cobbler the other night. You say, come on, Ted, you don't eat blackberry cobbler. You're not even normal. Well, I am too normal, and we do eat stuff like that, but there was no sugar or honey in it. She used ripened bananas, okay, to sweeten it. And what she used as far as the flour, we ground our own flour. And we used good blackberries, and there was no sugar, and it was all good for you. And, I mean, it was excellent. I mean, I oinked out on it for 2 days, a coin and expression there. And people don't realize that, hey, you know, there are good things you can eat without having to, you know, use sugar or honey. And this is the key that people have to realize, that with hypoglycemia, like anything else, that, you know, you've got to be very careful with it, because there's a reason that the body's having a problem regulating the sugar levels. Okay.
I just have one other question I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
What can you eat then? In case I miss the show next month, what kind of diet would you suggest? Because what you said about your blood sugar dropping and irritability, yes, that's me, to the T. And it does cause problems because your husband just does not understand why you're acting like this.
I know. And again, that's one of the prime reasons of marital discord in this country. And so many times, again, and I'm not taking the light off of a spiritual approach to recognizing, you know, marital problems or inability of spouses to deal with one another. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm just simply saying that a lot of times it's very hard to feel good and to be happy with your spouse if you don't feel good and if you feel like you're going to pass out any minute because you become very irritable because you're worried about survival, not pleasing your husband. And it's something that, you know, we have to have inside of us, because if the blood sugar goes too low, you literally will pass out because the brain becomes starved for the sugar. What I suggest that you do, because this is not that simple, okay, and if I cover it on the radio right now and I try to give you a detailed diet, it'll end up taking the rest of our feedback show this morning. So go ahead and give my office a call. Let me give that number out real quick. It's area code 813-956-2733. In addition to that, we have a detailed information packet, including cassette tapes and literature and two booklets that we can send you. Now, you need to go ahead and give our office a call, because there is a cost on that. We wish we could give them out for free, but we can't because they cost us too much to produce. And so if you want to call our office up again at 956-2733, we can give you complete information on that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. 20 now before 11 o'clock, and you're listening to Feedback. We're talking about nutrition again this morning with Ted Brewer, specifically nutrition that will help us to prevent cancer. 858-3805 is our number this morning. And we'll go back to Ted.
Okay. There's other things, and again, there is something that we call an anti-cancer diet. And it's for people who are really concerned about, you know, not having problems with cancer. And remember, Tom, see, and this is something that I get so frustrated with. You know, we will take unbelievable care of an automobile. We will change the oil at regular intervals. We will keep the air filters clean. We will do everything we have to do to keep that automobile functioning properly. Preventive maintenance. You could call it preventive health care for your automobile. But yet, when it comes to our bodies, we don't tend to think about it like that. We think, well, you know, if we do this only every once in a while, or if we just eat, you know, swine flesh every once in a while and all these things, you know, that's going to be okay. Even though the Bible says not to do it. And there's a reason for that. And again, the reason for that is 1 out of 3 people now autopsied in the United States have trichinosis. You know, we talked about this and we documented that stuff finding last time we were in. And you see, trichinosis is very hard to cook out of meat. And so why in the world take a chance of that one bite of pork having that dreaded disease in it, which there is no cure?
I'm wondering if one of the reasons why some of us are so uncomfortable with what we're learning is the fact that it shifts the burden of health off the medical profession and onto ourselves.
That's right. See, every doctor, you know, they know that the responsibility of the health is not up to them. It's up to their patient. And see, this is what people don't realize is that, like we've mentioned before, I heard an old Baptist preacher say at one time, every pot sits on its own bottom. Everybody is responsible for their own health. And if they continually break the dietary laws, if they continually eat high-fat foods and deep-fat fried foods, you know, it's been shown over and over again that constipation in women and high-fat food consumption go hand-in-hand in women, and all both of those are directly correlated to breast cancer in women. It's been shown directly that one of the primary causes of fibrocystic disease in women, you know, for the precursor of breast cancer, is caffeine consumption. So if a gal's on a high-fat diet, she stays plugged up all the time, she drinks a tremendous amount of caffeine to keep her system going. I talked to a gal who came in the office the other day. She drinks over a pot of coffee a day. And I said to her, I said, let me look, here, look at the statistics. I said, look what you're asking for. And I said, it's been shown over and over again, and the statistics tell you that if you do this, you end up with a breast cancer. And so, you know, it's up to you. So the key is, you know, again, as Hosea says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And it's so important that we learn that, you know, we've got to start obeying, you know, just common sense laws. If you don't want to, if you get all caught up in legalism in the Old Testament, don't worry about the legalism in the Old Testament. Just get common sense. Shellfish are high in toxins. They're not easy and they're not good to eat. Pork is high in parasites. And plus, the meat digests too quickly and it's unclean for you and your body loses energy when you eat it. Regardless of what the Bible says, this has been proven scientifically. So, you know, there are better types of food to eat than unclean fish or unclean food. And that's what all we're saying.
All right. It's 16 now. Before 11, let's go back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I have two questions. My first one has to do with what the lady before me was asking. What do we eat if we cut out white flour? You're cutting out great, great, great amounts of our diet. And what kind of meat do we eat if we don't eat beef, pork, or chicken? And then also, I'd like to know if eating moderate amounts is different than eating large amounts. I mean, is that permissible?
Okay, you mean like, okay, like, let's, for instance, if the only type of meat that I allow myself, okay, is deep water fish, okay, and it's clean fish, where you're talking about red snapper or a grouper or something like that. If you want to eat those types of fish, those are okay. In the last show, we read a whole list of unclean fish that you shouldn't eat, one of them being catfish, another one being tuna fish is unclean. And that shocked so many people. Tuna fish doesn't have scales, okay? And the Bible says it's unclean. And I've had people come in our office many times have severe headaches. And I ask them, how much tuna do you eat? Well, matter of fact, they eat it every day. Well, when you have headaches, every day after I eat the tuna. And so you need to avoid those types of meat. And I personally don't allow myself to even take moderate amounts of the red meat or the chicken in because I know or I can't be sure of what's in it. Now, because of this, okay, because of this public outcry like you're doing right now, what we have decided to do in our office is we're going to be carrying a complete line of chickens and beef that has not been subjected to diethylstilbestrol or any other additives or byproducts. You know, in fact, I ordered a bunch of freezers and lockers for that the other day, and so we'll have that available in our office, or you can check with one of your other health food stores. I don't know. And see if they have something for you like that.
I guess that would give people an opportunity to see the difference.
Yes, and you would not believe how it tastes. The difference is how it tastes. Like, for instance, if you do eat chicken that is clean, that doesn't have all the hormones, it is so tender and it tastes so good and there's no blood in it or anything else. It's really good. And there's no fat on it. You don't have this big thick layer of fat around the skin, you know, because that's how they fatten it up, you know, so that diethylstilbestrol. And that's the thing that I urge you, ma'am, that if you do decide to eat that type of meat and you continue to eat it, that you find a place that sells it that does not have the toxins in it.
I was told once that you need to be wary of buying from health food stores, things like this, because you really cannot be sure that it has been grown organically or, you know, whatever.
Well, that's true, ma'am, and you know, that's why we can only trust our suppliers. You know, we can, you know, I guess I can go check them out when they raise them or something like that. Now, we have a gal who supplies us yard eggs that I know, and she doesn't feed her chickens anything but corn, and they live off the stuff in her grove. Okay, so I know that that's healthy. Of course, who knows, she may be spraying her grove with something. I don't know, but again, that's true. You have to be very careful, and it's like we've told you many other times on the radio, a lot of health food stores, you know, the people who work there have literally no nutrition knowledge. And we see it all the time. People will come into our office, they'll bring a bag of vitamins that they just purchased or a bag of other things that they've just got from their health food stores, and many times these products are still petroleum-based, and they're not even natural, they're not even good quality products. And it's frustrating. And see, that's the purpose of our class. We teach a class on every Wednesday night here at Carpenter's Home Church, and this is at the first the Main Street facility. And I want to really promote the class heavily tonight because the gal who just called in a few minutes ago, she spoke about hypoglycemia. Tonight's class is on hypoglycemia at the church. Okay, it will be tonight at 7 o'clock at the Annex, which is across from the Main Street Sanctuary here in Lakeland. And again, I urge all of you who are interested in learning more about nutrition and understanding this so we won't have that verse that my people perish for lack of knowledge apply anymore. Come to these classes. We teach on heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and we go into in-depth. We have overheads, we have films, we have slides, and we show you what all these diets do and how bad they are and what to eat, you know, in order to prevent them. And so, again, that's what I urge everybody to do is to come to the classes on Wednesday night at our church.
We appreciate your call this morning.
Okay, could I have one more comment? That this is very frustrating to me that we should take time to grind our own wheat, that, you know, we have to go out in search of water. You know, we have to go to all this trouble. I mean, just bringing food into our home, it seems like that would be an all-consuming. You would have to totally devote your mind and your time to it. I don't know. I don't think I can handle it.
Well, that's good. I really appreciate you saying that, too, because I tell you what, I felt the exact same way a few years ago when we started changing our diet. And I thought, I can't believe this. I can't believe that our food has been so processed and so demineralized and devitalized that I've got to go out and, you know, we've got to buy ourselves a grinder and we've got to buy the wheat and we've got to grind it. And I started thinking, what a hassle. I agree with you, ma'am, 100%. But you see, we have our choices. You know, we have to realize that the statistics are there. The United States is ranked 37th in world health. And what we have done is we've promoted this fast-paced, get-ahead society in which everything's instant. And see, it's not that easy when it comes to food. And I agree with you. I wish there was a way we could push a button and have everything done for us. But it's just not possible anymore because of the way everything's been devitalized. I wish it was.
Thank you for calling.
Just 11 minutes left in the program. 858-3805 is our number to call. We'll take one more caller. Go ahead, please.
Yes, you just raised another question while I was waiting. You're talking about tuna. Is it albacore that's... Does that have fins and scales?
That's the only type of tuna I'm not sure about. Somebody else told me the other day in my office, they said, well, albacore tuna, we think it has fins and scales. I don't know. I know that general tuna does not, but I've heard different people say that albacore may or may not. So I don't know. So if you want to find out for me, call me. I'd really appreciate it.
Well, that's what I've always heard.
Okay.
But the main reason I called was about the fluoride. My doctor is prescribing polyvifluor, the fluoride, for my son. And he's 22 months old, and he gets about a dropper full a day. And you raise the question of fluoride. I just wonder if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, I can. I'm just going to just take a minute out here real quick. This is on page 81 of the book that I recommended to you, and it's a gal who is a dental hygienist, and she's recounting her incidents at the dentist's office. And she goes, one of my bosses was working on a patient and applied topical fluoride. The child went into convulsions and died in the chair. We were all shocked. It happened so fast that no one could do anything for him. It was just a few minutes after the fluoride was applied. And you see, fluoride is very, very poisonous. It's an industrial byproduct, and it's extremely carcinogenic and extremely deadly. And I personally will never, ever allow anyone to give my child fluoride. That's how I feel about it. Now, of course, you can, you know, what I suggest you do is you buy the books and you do your own research, and I think you'll find it. Pretty much I'm accurate on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Let me go over a few more things about what people need to eat, okay? Most foods need to be eaten in their natural, raw state, okay? Now, I'm not saying to eat everything raw because that's not healthy, but about 30% of your diet to 20% of your diet, if your body chemistry is healthy, should be eaten raw. A lot of green leafy vegetables and stuff like that for chlorophyll to help the liver to produce more enzymes. You should eat a lot of fresh fruits, vegetables, some nuts, sprouted seeds, and grains. You should avoid peanut butter and peanuts. Okay, peanuts are an excellent food. They're often infected by a yellow fungus, which has been shown to be carcinogenic. So we don't recommend eating a peanut butter at all. Other grains that are good to eat are millet, buckwheat, brown rice, and barley. Last night, my wife made an exceptionally good-tasting millet loaf. I mean, it was incredible how good it tasted. Other amounts you should include a lot of easy-to-digest proteins, different vegetables and soy-type proteins, rather than just staying on whole meat proteins because they're very hard to digest. You should avoid white potatoes because they're almost devoid of nutrients. Again, you can eat some white potatoes every year. Don't worry about it, but 5 pounds of white potatoes a person per year is plenty. Don't eat more than that, okay? That's like one every 3 weeks. I know a lot of people, their staple is white potatoes, okay, and there's just not that many nutrients in them.
Meat and potatoes.
That's right. That's right, and that's what we've been taught. Now, sweet potatoes, on the other hand, are pretty good. Okay, you should avoid all animal proteins if you have a problem with cancer, such as meat, fowl, fish, and eggs. Okay, because the body's lost the ability to digest it, and when that happens, you just make yourself worse by eating large amounts of the proteins. You should avoid saturated, cholesterol-rich animal fats, including butter. And you should use cold-pressed vegetable oils, such as flaxseed oil, sunflower seed oil, soybean oil, stuff like that. But never, ever heat them when you're cooking with them. If you're going to add oil to your food, put them to your food after you finish cooking, because that'll make it a whole lot better for you, and you won't start to make them rancid, and they won't start breaking down. Again, you should avoid all rancid and stale foods. You should, on a regular basis, fast. Okay, not just for spiritual reasons, which is important, okay, but also the fasting helps to cleanse your tissue and gives your body a rest. Everyone should fast one day a week. I really believe that with all my heart. And the way you fast is you eat like at 6 o'clock one night, and you don't eat again until 6 o'clock the following night, 24 hours. So you just only miss basically two meals. You miss breakfast and lunch, and that's it. Only drink steam distilled water while you're fasting. I know people who use it. In fact, I used to do it. I drink coffee all day when I was fasting to keep my energy levels up. Okay, not healthy. That's not why you're fasting. And systematic under-eating is what you need to also do. Learn how to push away from the table before you get full. Because it's important that you know that you don't go to the table, and every time you go to the table, you oink out. Okay? Because I know people who do that. They eat two big meals a day, and they just eat as much as they can. That overtaxes the system. It's better to eat smaller meals more often in the day than to eat huge meals twice a day or once a day. That's not healthy at all.
All right. Let's take another caller. We have just 6 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Bartow. I was listening, and I heard you talking about the pork being unclean. And I wanted to ask this question. I was reading over here in Timothy where it was saying that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified through the word of God in prayer. I was wondering if you could answer me about that, because I eat pork and chicken and all kinds of meat.
Okay, good question. And if you get our tape from last February, if requested from Tom, we'll go into real detail with that. But let me answer that question for you real quick. You already answered your own question, okay, by the scripture that you read. Show me in the Bible where it tells you that pork is a clean food. Have you ever seen it in there? No, where it says swine is good to eat. Does it say that anywhere?
Okay,
that's fine. I said we're almost out of time, so I'm not trying to cut you off.
Oh, okay.
You've read the answer yourself, because you said in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated or sanctified by the Word of God,
right,
and prayer. It doesn't say or prayer. It says and prayer, which means it's a conjunction putting together two phrases that are equally important.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible won't contradict itself. And see, this is what we have to remember, that if pork was clean, it would say or prayer, or you can eat anything you want if you pray over it. It doesn't say that. It says, but it has to be consecrated or sanctified by the Word of God, which pork is not, and prayer.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. We have just 5 minutes left in this morning's program. We'll only be taking a few more calls. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I just have a quick question on some information or books that you can buy in regarding to better nutrition or meal planning that you would write. We've completely eliminated most beef in our whole diet. The only thing we're eating a lot of is chicken. Is there any books that you can suggest?
Well, we've got the information packet that we send out to people that we have a lot of good information on clean and unclean foods in it.
Okay.
And you can request that. Again, you'll have to call our office. We're not allowed to give the price out over the radio because there is a cost on it, because we can't send them out for free.
Okay.
But again, you can call our office up at area code 813-956-2733. Uh-huh. That's the Winter Haven number. That, again, is 956-2733.
Okay. Are you a physician of nutrition or something?
I'm a nutritional therapist trained in nutritional therapy. I'm a biologist and a chemist.
I see. Okay, well, your information has been very helpful, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to Feedback, and phone lines are still open this morning. However, we only have 4 minutes left, and we'll probably just take one last call if we could do that. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm from Braden, and I was wondering, didn't he give a Braden number when he was on before or not?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, I'll be back on WJIS next Monday morning.
Monday morning?
Yes, ma'am. And we'll be doing basically the same presentation again on cancer in Braden. And at that time, we'll give you the numbers then, okay?
Okay. I just wanted to say that I believe in it wholeheartedly. And the other lady that said what she said, she can have her belief. But I think if more people would do what you said, this would be a healthier country and people would be more healthy.
God bless you so much. Thank you for saying that, ma'am.
Appreciate your call. Unfortunately, that may indeed be the last one we take this morning. You've got some closing comments in just 3 minutes.
Well, Tom, I kind of decided to write some closing comments today because you always ask me closing comments, and I never have them written down, so let me just read this to you. Through our presentation today, we have shown that the basic causes of cancer are known, okay, and that they have been known for a long time. They can be found in our denatured environment, our health-destroying mode of living, the push-push-run-run society we live in, the carcinogenic substances in our air, soil, water, and food, smoking, overindulgence in proteins, especially meat proteins, and the inability to properly digest these proteins. They're through nutritional deficiencies and other physical and emotional stresses, which, you know, a lot of resentment and anger and bitterness can cause a lot of cancer problems. And they weaken down and break the body's system down, and so it becomes very susceptible to disease. People have to realize that for a woman to be diagnosed as having breast cancer, for a one-inch size lump in her breast, it had to have been there for 10 years. Now, people, they're so shocked when I tell them that, but that's just a fact for it to be diagnosed. The only way that we're going to win the battle against cancer is if we begin a massive preventive program designed at eliminating all the environmental carcinogens that we have in our diet today. That's number one. And number two is we have to improve our nutritional patterns. We may have to go back to grinding our own wheat. The problem with wheat is if you grind it, it becomes rancid within a few hours. So you can't even buy whole wheat flour unless it's because it's been ground for years, you know, sometimes years, not years, months earlier. And we have to learn how through proper nutrition that we can strengthen the body's resistance against disease. And this is what we teach at our Wednesday night classes all the time, that we really promote, that we hope all of you can come to the Wednesday night classes here at Carpenter's Home Church. And again, if you have a need of the information packet that we spoke about, you can call our office at area code 956-2733. We can give you more information on what our office does. And we just appreciate all of you. But remember, and as Christians, I want you all to remember this. Satan is always going to be there telling you to wait until tomorrow to change his dietary habits. Because he wants all the Christians to be affected with hypoglycemia and heart attacks and diabetes and cancer. Because if you're really sick, sometimes it's hard to worship the Lord to the fullest of your ability. And so remember that. And so when you have a hard time thinking, well, this is a hassle eating this or that, just remember, which is a healthier way to eat? Remember what Corinthians says, that don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives within you? And we have to take care of our temple. It's so important.
Very quickly, we have just 60 seconds left. You mentioned very early on in the program that the research over the last several decades has focused on a cure for cancer, and you anticipated that perhaps that would change as they realized that there is a preventative aspect. Do you think that's really going to happen? Is there going to be an emphasis there?
I think there is, because, again, from this New England Journal of Medicine's writing of May the 8th, it said, the main conclusion we draw is that after some 35 years of intense efforts focused largely on improving treatment, it must all be judged a qualified failure. And with so many other epidemics, a greater focus on preventing cancer through proper eating, changes in lifestyle, and environmental controls may hold much more promise in reducing the nation's second biggest killer than by treatment. And again, it's everything we said today.
Ted Brewer, we appreciate you joining us again this morning.
Thank you, Tom. God bless you.
You've been listening to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Unless otherwise stated during today's program, cassette copies of the broadcast are available by writing Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenters Way, Lakeland, Florida, 33805. Be certain to mention today's date when you write. The address again is Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenters Way, Lakeland, Florida, 33805. Opinions expressed on Feedback are not necessarily those of WCIE.